Today's scripture reading is from James 2, 21 through 25. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works, faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believes God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way?
Good morning. Happy Sabbath to all of you out there. I want to welcome the visitors that have come to join us this morning and those that have come to fellowship with us this morning. Today we're going to be talking about Rahab, the harlot. We're going to be doing a series on women that was accepted by grace, and I'm the first one, and so we're talking about Rahab this morning. I want to begin reading a little bit more of that scripture as Stacy read. Let's go back and look at that again, starting with verse 21 through 25. Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not always by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? Today, technical problem. Hold on. This is new to me, so. Today, we're going to look at a woman named Rahab, accepted by God's grace. Perhaps some of you have heard of her, and perhaps not. I've called Rahab the woman who trusted and put her faith in God. Rahab is twice celebrated in the New Testament as a great believer. In Hebrews 11:31, we are told, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. She is also listed in the Great Hall of Fame and is described as one whose faith proved itself by good works. Again, verse 25 of James 2. In the same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? Rahab is a woman accepted by God's grace. And so this morning we will begin looking at her story. If you'll turn with me to Joshua 2, her story is told in chapter 2, verses 1 through 24. I will be reading from the New International Version. starting with verse 1. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies from Shittim. "Go, look over the land," he said, "especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, "Look, some of the Israelites have come over here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, "Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land." The Bible really doesn't have a whole lot to say about the life of this woman. It seems that the only account we have of her is found here in Joshua. Initially, it seems that Rahab isn't exactly heroine material. She is first introduced as a prostitute, not someone you would expect to be praised in the scriptures. Yet she is a woman with a past to whom God had given a future. The story of Rahab, if you noticed, is located right in the midst of the biblical account of the launch of Israel's military campaign to conquer the promised land. The Israelites were camped by the Jordan River, waiting for the orders to cross and take possession of the land they had been waiting so long for. Joshua was their new leader, and he sent out 2 spies to help in the planning of that strategy. So a few miles beyond the river, just beyond just opposite the place where the Israelites were encamped was the large and strongly fortified city of Jericho. This city was virtually the key to the whole country, and it would present a formidable obstacle to the success of Israel. Joshua therefore sent 2 young men as spies to visit this city and ascertain something as to its population, its resources, and the strength of its fortifications. The citizens of Jericho were well prepared for the siege. A spring of water, which provided water for the city, as well as modern Jericho today, lay inside the city walls. At the time of the attack, the harvest had just been taken in, so the citizens had an abundant supply of food. With a plentiful food supply and ample water, the inhabitants of Jericho could have held out for perhaps several years. Going back to verse 1 of chapter 2 of Joshua, then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies from Shittim. "Go," he said, "look over the land, especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. These spies come to Jericho. It was the first city in the path of the coming conquerors that the land promised to give to the Israelites. And we read that their first stop was the house of the prostitute Rahab. Wait a minute. I thought they were told to look over the land, not look over the people. Well, anyway, the question that immediately comes to mind is, why would the spies go to a prostitute's house? Why would they go to a prostitute's house? True, I would agree with that. I believe. It was a good place, though. It was a good place to gather information, and no questions would be asked in return. No doubt Rahab's house would have been a frequent stopping place for travelers from other parts of the land, and therefore much news would have been exchanged at her house. It was an ideal location also for a quick escape because it was built into the city wall. Well, then why go to Rahab's house? Why actually go to Rahab's house of all people in the city besides seeking information? God directed the spies to Rahab's house because he knew her heart was open to him and that she would be instrumental in the Israelite victory over Jericho. The New Testament describes Rahab as a woman of great faith and trust in God. And the basis for these statements rests in this short event recorded in as to why she risked her life to save the spies. In Joshua 2, verses 9 through 11, if you'll turn there with me, let's look at why she decided to risk her life to save the spies. Starting at verse 9, and she said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. So she gives the spies this explanation. Let's think a moment about what was going through Rahab's mind as these spies entered her inn and she found out whom they were and where they were from. Let's think for a moment what was going through her mind as she gave them this explanation for why she was risking her life. We already know that the city and the surrounding countryside was trembling in fear at the prospect of the Israelites knocking on their doorstep. No doubt there were some rather exaggerated stories floating around about the people from the desert, but as exaggerated as they were, there were too many collaborations in those stories that could attribute to a myth or something. They had to be true. There had to be something to them. And it seems as though Rahab wasted no time in befriending these men because she knew what had happened to the Israelites as they were coming forth to take the city of Jericho. The Lord was moving them forward, and the Canaanites had time to realize that he was God and these were his people, but they didn't even bother to even think about it. But Rahab knew and believed in this God of the Israelites, and she was willing to risk her life to give these spies in her house to be hidden, and these were some of the reasons why she did it. So it seems as though Rahab wasted no time in befriending these men and providing cover for them. when her fellow countrymen came to arrest them. Perhaps as Rahab saw the spies, she saw her chance for an escape. What is important to recognize in this story, church family, is the fact that Rahab believed Jericho was doomed, and she wanted to leave the city under the cover and also to be one of the Israelites and have this God as her God. So this is why Rahab believed Jericho was doomed. It was not a question of whether it would happen, but merely when. Rahab was placing everything she had at risk for these complete strangers. These strangers weren't from a land or people known to Rahab. She didn't know them. She didn't know anything about them. But she had heard the stories of these people. How was she to know that these two men would help her anyway? But she stepped out in faith and offered them a hiding place. Rahab clearly drew her line of loyalty on where she was going to stand when the attack came. She had drawn a line in the sand, and she was going to be on the side of God and his people. And she realized if any of the people of Jericho found out what she had done, then Rahab would lose everything. And yet Rahab believed that if she didn't side with the Israelites and their God, then she would definitely lose everything. She was the only survivor, her and her family, out of this city that the Lord brought the walls down for. And there lies in the crux of the matter. Rahab wasn't trusting in these spies for salvation. She wasn't trusting in the spies for salvation. She was trusting in the God of these spies. And she was now demonstrating a living faith. She also was asking for a token of kindness as a sign of her living faith. In a Hebrews 11:1, faith is believing in something you have never seen. Can you say amen to that? Faith is believing in something you have never seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Everything that Rahab had heard reinforced the fact that this God of the Israelites does exactly what he says he will do. He does exactly what he says he will do. Can you say amen to that? Amen, he does. It was her hope that if she could somehow come under his people's protection, then she would escape the coming destruction of Jericho. She believed that if she could somehow come under the protection of these people, this God of the Israelites, she would escape the coming destruction of Jericho. And Rahab knew that the only way she could obtain this protection from destruction was risk everything. She had to risk everything. Her life, her culture, everything that she had known, she had to risk everything and place her faith and belief in a God that she had never seen but only heard about. She risked everything about herself. Can you imagine giving up your home, your children, everything that you've ever known to follow and give your life to Christ and live for him? In order to have faith in God, she had to lose faith in everything else. When we become Christians, we are to hold on to our Father God, put our faith into Him, and lose everything that we've ever known, surrender it all to Him, and give our hearts to Him. Rahab could have turned the spies in and benefited from a reward of being the one who captured them because the king wanted them, but she didn't. She hid them. She could have discounted the many stories she heard about the Israelites and their God. But Rahab based her faith not on who she is, a woman of Jericho. She was a woman of Jericho. She was a prostitute, a woman living on the outside of the city walls. Rahab based her faith on who God is, the God who does what He says He will do, who keeps His promises, who protects and saves His people. Rahab believed in God, and it was credited to her as righteousness. In doing so, Rahab willingly surrendered everything she had to His mercy and grace. Hebrews 11:31 tells us, by faith, the harlot, Rahab, did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. This is why Rahab's faith was honored so much later in the New Testament. For this is the kind of faith that moves the heart of God. When a person surrenders everything, places everything they know, love and trust on the line and the mercy of God. When a person willingly trusts God with their very life, not trying to control it themselves in any way, then God marvels at that and rewards their faith. The kind of faith, this is the kind of faith that can move mountains. This is the kind of faith that can move mountains. Rahab the harlot was accepted by grace. Her whole demeanor has changed. She's looking up to the Lord. She has accepted Him, and He has accepted her. And she is now a completely changed woman from the inside out. In James 2:25 again, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? She not only believed that the Israelites were coming to conquer and destroy Jericho and that God would fulfill what He told His people He would do, but she placed her trust in the very same God and had faith that she could place her life in His hands. Her trust in God arose out of what she had heard about Him, not what she had personally witnessed. Even though her own eyes had not seen what God had done, she trusted in Him. Why? Because she simply put two and two together. No matter what anyone says, there is no way the Israelites could have gotten this far and lived so long in the desert by chance, 40 years in the desert, now ready to take the promised land, already have taken a couple of cities in the promised land. They had to have God with them. We have to have God with us every day of our life as Christians. We can do nothing without Him. It's impossible to please Him without faith and trust in Him. The story goes that sweeping across Germany at the end of World War II, the Allied forces searched farms and houses looking for snipers. At one abandoned house, almost a heap of rubble, searchers with flashlights found their way to the basement. There, on the crumbling wall, a victim of the Holocaust had scratched a Star of David. And beneath it, in rough lettering, the message said, "I believe in the sun, even when it does not shine. I believe in love, even when it is not shown. I believe in God, even when he does not speak." The kind of faith that Rahab had and the kind of faith that this unknown victim had is the kind of faith that gives rise to hope, no matter what the circumstances you find yourself in. It is a kind of faith that lifts up and carries you through the darkest and bleakest times of your life. For it is during those times that it isn't always easy to see the light, feel the love, or hear the voice of God. But that doesn't mean that he isn't there, does it? It doesn't mean that he isn't there. That's why Jesus said, recorded in John 20, verse 29, "Then Jesus told him, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" She identified with God's people as a reason for her risking her life. She identified with God's people. In Joshua 2, verse 12, "And she offered to hide them." She now asks for a token of kindness for her very own family. Her mother, her father, her sisters, and brothers, she also asked for a kindness for them as well as her own life. In Joshua 2, verses 12 and 13, she opposes the statement, "Now then," as she talks to them, "now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you, and give me a true token and spare my family and deliver our lives from death." She's not only seeking her life, she's also seeking her family's life. She wants them to be saved as she will be. Verse 13, her belief and faith in God was so strong that she didn't want her family to be lost either. She sought to save her family from the destruction of Jericho. In verse 14, the two spies guarantee her safety. They guarantee her safety and the safety of her family on their own lives if she doesn't betray them. Then they ask her for a sign so she and her family will be rescued and will not be destroyed in the fall of Jericho. And they say back to her in Joshua 2, verse 18, "Unless when we enter the land you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers and all your family into your house." They were to stay in the house. They were to stay in the house as the capture of Jericho was going to go on. They were to stay in the house, all of them together. They were not to go out into the streets or they would lose their lives. They were to stay in there. The scarlet cord identified Rahab and her family as one of them. The scarlet cord identified her and her family as one of them. her captors, and they would not then themselves. It identified one of them. Her captors were the people that she had placed her faith in and trust in through their God were the captors. They were going to be her people. The scarlet cord would identify them as one of their people that was coming to capture Jericho. And they were to stay in her house as the destruction of Jericho was going on around them, as the walls fell down and the people took the city. But they would not be touched. They would not even enter their house because they were now one of them. And so she agreed. She said, "Let it be as you say." So she sent them away and departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. This was the way she identified with God's people, was by her confession that she believed in the Lord and the hanging of the scarlet cord in her window. Let's step back in time a minute. Isn't this interesting with the scarlet cord? That on the night of the Passover, when the Israelites were saved from Egypt, they were to wipe the scarlet blood of a lamb on the threshold of their doors and windows. And that would be a signal to the angel of the Lord to pass over their homes and thus save the lives of their firstborn. Here in this story, we have Rahab. She was required to hang a scarlet cord that would signal the Israelites to pass over her home, which would save the lives of the people that she loved within her house. I don't think the comparison is coincidence. I don't think it is. There is a connection between the blood of a sacrificial lamb and the scarlet color of the cord Rahab was to leave displayed on the outside of the wall. In a similar way, as Christians, it is the blood of Jesus Christ and our identification with him through faith that brings our salvation, doesn't it? Can you say amen to that? She worked for the salvation of her relatives and friends. Verse 12 tells us again, "Now then," as she's talking to the spies, "please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign." Notice that Rahab's faith wasn't selfish, but instead selflessness. She was not only concerned for her own salvation, but she worked to obtain the salvation of her family and friends as well. That is the nature of faith or trust that is placed in God. When someone trusts God like you and me, and abandons their life to his mercy, then God opens up their hearts, their eyes, and to those around them who need salvation. Isn't that true? When we accept Jesus into our hearts, we can't contain it. We want to shout it. We want everyone to know, and we want our loved ones, neighbors, and friends to know Jesus. But friends, church family, I'm posing this question to you. Does your faith motivate you to work for the salvation of your relatives and friends? Does it? anyone that might even cross your path. Indeed, anyone that God brings across your path, or you might work with, you might meet on the street, it might be a neighbor, could even be someone right here at church. Are you interested and believe and trust and have faith in Jesus to offer him to them as Rahab asked for her family? I mean, do you plead in prayer for their lives before God that somehow their hearts would come to him? I know I have. My heart goes out to my family, to my sons and daughter-in-laws that don't know Jesus. My heart goes out to them. And I know the same thing goes for each one of the mothers in here and the fathers. But our friends, our neighbors, they need to hear about Jesus. We need to be praying for them. We need to take the opportunities as God presents them to us, because he will give us opportunities if we pray for them to share the love of Jesus with them and the testimony of what he, Jesus, has done in your life. We are the greatest testimony that we can share with those around us. Do you invite them to church? Do you invite them to church? To the place which is here, to the place where they may receive the invitation to a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and where they can experience the power of the Holy Spirit at work in their lives. This church family is working for Jesus, for the salvation of others. It is simply allowing the life of Jesus to work through you into the lives of everyone you encounter, and begins with total and complete trust in him. Doesn't it? Doesn't it? Bill was sitting in his house during a torrential downpour. As the floodwaters reached the bottom of his front door, some friends came along in a rowboat and called to him to climb in. Bill said, "No. No, I'm trusting in the Lord. I'll be okay. I'm staying here." The rain kept coming. The floodwaters kept rising until Bill was on the second floor. And then he was soon sitting on the roof. We've seen pictures of that this week, haven't we? How people have been endangered by the waters of flooding. But Bill eventually was sitting on the roof. Along came a helicopter. The pilot dropped down a rope ladder and called to Bill to climb aboard. But Bill said, "No, I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm staying here." The waters kept rising, and finally, Bill drowned. Rahab was not going to drown. She was going to follow the God of the Israelites. She was leaving Jericho when they came through. But Bill drowned in that water. Arriving in heaven, Bill said to the Lord, "Lord, I just don't understand it. I trusted in you, and I still ended up drowning." And the Lord replied, "Well, Bill, I don't understand it either. First, I sent you a boat, and then I sent you a helicopter, and you didn't take either one of them." Church family, with Rahab, her faith and trust in God led to action. Do you have faith and trust in God that he will lead you to action? Lead you into action to tell your friends and neighbors to be as Jesus is and reflect him? Trusting in God is something that is not only said, it's not just said to trust in God, it's to practice. It's to practice trusting in God. So in conclusion, three things stand out about Rahab's faith in this story. Her faith was based not on who she is, but on who God is. Her trust in God arose out of what she heard about God, not necessarily from what she personally experienced. And Rahab's faith led to action. And you know, on an interesting note, as we begin this study of the various women, Rahab is one of the two women mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. If you want to go there and look at it, it's in Matthew 1, verse 5. One of the spies that she hid, she actually married. His name was Salmon. She married him. She actually became one of the Israelites. She followed after them and married one of the spies. They had a child named Boaz. And Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. And Obed was the father of Jesse. And who was the son of Jesse? What was that? King David. And King David was the lineage that Christ came into the world. A prostitute, a harlot, a woman accepted by grace. And she is praised twice in the New Testament. She eventually became one of God's people. And she eventually received so much honor among God's people and in the scriptures. She received this honor because of her faith and trust in God. She was truly a woman accepted by grace. Shall we pray as we close out this beautiful story of Rahab the harlot? Father, I thank you for giving me this opportunity and also the church family a chance to get to know Rahab. Please, Father, help us to have that trust and faith in you as we begin this week, Lord. For everything is impossible for us, but nothing is impossible for you, Lord. We want to be in that number that Rahab chose to belong to, in accepting and loving and trusting in you. In Jesus' precious, beautiful, and wonderful name, we ask. Amen.